Okay, story. Now it's getting really. I mean, at game theory 25, at around 40, 41 minutes, and I'm starting to. I'm speaking this just so I can put it in this story, because it's at least that's how it should be there. To see this amazing thing here, how it looks like the world, the global situation of the human beings. And he describes it like this, John, that that's the empire. We have that now in our story, right? And it creates, it's all about consciousness. They understand that, the top leaders of the whole thing. And so it's all about molding, managing, you could say, influence. I got influencers, even. The mind, you know, the collective mind of the human beings. And you got good old Carl Jung, who can tell you about the collective mind and consciousness. So it's here and it's us. When we are in groupthink mode, especially. Now, let's see if I got it right. It's really advanced here. So they build up this. Let's say we're going to build this illusion. This is Plato's cave. In cubic square quadrillion dimensions. Level. Yeah, we need to do things to project this worldview, this cosmos, this reality onto as many people as possible on the planet. That's a simple and straightforward objective, right? If you want to create an empire. Because that's what's going on here, according to Jung. Creating an empire that will simply dominate and rule the world. Upheld, now we can see it, reinforced by technology. So it's about creating, in this case, a hallucination, something that seems to exist but doesn't. In this case, an empire. But as long as everyone agrees that it exists, then it does. And the ones who built this illusion of an empire, which is maybe 5-10 people sitting somewhere, very smart people, having understanding and access to this super smart consciousness technology, you could say, consciousness shaping technology of the modern media, because that's what it is. It's 1984 times 100. The television camera in the wall of Big Brother. That's the good old days. So this all have in our story. And so they need money, because money can buy resources and working power, which you need to build this empire and maintain it. And first you need to start with, well, then he goes into that next layer, that you build the world economy and you build these NGOs, which is almost an ironic word, non-government organizations. A negation there, which, as we know from hypnotherapy, the word, the negating word, tends to confirm the existence of the negated word. In any case, hallucination made, and he's taken this example of why Nixon went to China in 72, a year after they took away the dollar from gold, which meant really that the dollar did not have any value anymore. It was just pieces of paper. The value became a Ponzi scheme, meaning convincing everybody that the dollar was incredibly valuable. And to do that, and here they came up with an ingenious solution and plan. I mean, we have to give them that. Whoever they are smart. We give you that. And then we are in the story here. I mean, it's getting hot. And anyway, so they made a deal, and how they did it, I don't know. With the oil states in the Middle East, that they would only sell oil in dollars. And this way, you know, when you sell oil to someone else for dollars, what are you doing? You're buying dollars. meaning that this dollar became very sought after because there were so many who came there with dollars they wanted to sell to you for oil and other things. This upheld, instead of gold, upheld the value, the universal, unshakable value of the dollar as a world currency. Now then, let's see if we can get it right here. The production of all the goods that people consume in the world was done in China. They used China as a production workshop. Getting the resources out of China, meaning products made from actual valuable materials and valuable human work power. You get those and you pay with dollars. So the Chinese, the Easterners there, they buy dollars, which are only worth, well, they're worth nothing more than the mutual agreement between many countries and people about its value. So Nixon went over to China, famous meeting there, Mao Zedong. What did he do? Well, Jiang here explains it, that he hooked the dollar to the yuan, meaning that you're Chinese, you're China, you're doing business, you want to buy things from other countries. You come there with your yuan, your poor country, and they say, no, we want dollars. We sell to in dollars first. Now, the agreement between the US and China back then, Nixon and, of course, Kissinger and other guys behind him, smart economists, then offered China that you can any day go to the bank and you can have a trillion yuan and you will get immediately the current exchange rate worth of dollars that you can then buy things from other countries with. Great, says the Chinese. Signing this, now we are in business. Now we can buy resources and all kinds of things here to build up our country. And they started working, doing that very successfully. However, what's happening here is that they are buying dollars, paying with their actual valuable produce. And well, as long as that dollar is mutually valued, at a somewhat steady value, that will work, but it's a Ponzi scheme. It's an hallucination. There are no real money there. It's a piece of paper. Not even that. Numbers in computers that are being upheld on servers by computer technicians. And yes, says Pio, I'm educated in that world and was almost about to become one of those working down there in the server rooms. So I know that, the reality of it. Now, if everyone would suddenly disagree with the value of the dollar or don't want it anymore, maybe, for instance, they have simply decided to trade it with each other in their own currencies. Yeah, you want to buy this from me, or you want to pay in your African local currency, whatever it's called, sure. We regulate it here through a proper bank, so everything is, yeah. And you can do that with bills. You can do it through gold. You can do it with very secure servers using cryptocurrency or whatever. Now, that's what BRICS are doing now. So there is some smartness coming from that side as well. But that's another story. So here, this means that yes, they created another hallucination there. And yes, the huge boomed economy of China is an hallucination. It's a Ponzi scheme. Now, the Chinese, they know Ponzi schemes. They can see and smell a Ponzi scheme from distance. They are not stupid people the way the Westerners think they are. On the contrary, they consider the Westerners stupid people, which they are. You got to dare and be bold enough and learn to see things from the different sides and how they look from there. And when I stood there, now there's an author and it's Pio talking, in China, in Beijing, in the kingdom of the middle, in the middle of the kingdom of the middle, at the in front of the throne of the emperor, the former great empire of China. And the remnants of the Cultural Revolution and all that drama that the Chinese went through, but again, which made them strong and smart and awake. And which you can see when you are there. It's a strong, healthy country. And yes, here is an economy of dollars flying around. So what to do with that? Well, we stop, and this reasoning has been there. I don't know when it entered, but I think it was there when I said last time, 2012. Or at least for some few years. Now, at that time, they bought dollars. And I asked some people why, and they said because if they don't, then the world economy will, you know, the Western economy will start crashing, and they are good customers. We're depending on them as customers. But that changed, at least in our story here. And they start thinking, we can't depend on those crazy Westerners. You know how they are. They have shown it again and again throughout history. They're unreliable. You know, you're sitting there, you're there in chambers with wise Tao monk sages looking. And I have one on video that I got, or picture, that could serve as a character for that. Saying, you know, we have to learn from our history. And these leaders, top leaders, are sitting there nodding, and yes, you are right. And maybe the Tao monk is like, you know, yes, your responsibility here as leaders is to protect your people and make and keep your country and your people strong and safe. That's the Confucian way. That's the Tao, the way. And you can now proudly, in a modern fashion, show this, understanding that this is the way to build a virtuous, sustainable, and good society on Earth, which is win-win for everyone. We need to rise up again. The old, and you hear, I mean, these are practically things I heard from intellectuals when I was there. This big artist that we spoke to, I have in one video too, when he says this, saying that, you know, 100 years of Western influence doesn't destroy our thousands and thousands of years old culture. It's coming up again. So they decide that we will stop buying. I don't know when they did, but they have done since a few years back. Dollars. at least these bonds or whatever, which is just another dimension of the Ponzi scheme, taking loans from you. Taking their money, here we take your. Money will give you papers. And anyway, so this is all for the story, build it in there somewhere, however that's going to be done, I don't know. Otherwise this is more from our own memories and understanding of this video, because it really gave me an eye-opener here, how it is constructed. But now the Ponzi scheme is about to get too near to pop the bubble, which we have seen so many times before. That's what happens with Ponzi schemes. And these words that I just said can be said by some Chinese advisor, financial advisor, super genius financial person there in China, closest advisor to the government, who really knows what he or she is talking about. So then they invent bricks. They go plan B, just becoming self-sufficient, domestic. And they have invested so much in building up their own infrastructure and making sure that no matter what happens in the world, they can close their doors to the outside world. They have a good defense, they always had. And that's what they were always focused on. No need to take anything from any other countries. Not in their ethics to steal and rob and cheat, which is more of a Westerner tradition. Mind our own business. If you want, we can cooperate. Otherwise, we leave you alone. You leave us alone. That's Chinese culture, and I would say it's much Asian developed old civilizations, like in India as well, and other of those countries over there. Japan, I don't know. But anyway, someone is talking this, or there's some discussion if we can get it in there somewhere or other into the story. So bricks, it's really built on Dharma, it's built on the Tao, it's built on cooperation between countries, just like between villages. You got that resource, you got that expertise, and we have our resources and expertise, so we can share and exchange fairly, not cheating, And it's a win-win. I mean, it's just, it doesn't require a top academic genius to understand that. So we show how this thinking is there, and even in, among ordinary people on the streets of Calcutta, you know, of India. These people are smart. The Indians, they are smart because they live well, they eat carefully, they have an old culture, tradition, they are strong. And their culture, tradition have been destroyed or heavily exploited by the colonialists, we know who, no need to mention names. And continuously so, and are now also quietly cooperating there with the BRICS countries. And it's dharmic. And we have leaders up there who can see that, who understand what dharma is. And most probably have that ideal, that idea there somewhere in their political strategies, whatever. A dharma, establishing, upholding, again, reviving dharma on earth. And that's a beautiful one in our story here. Because that dharma pops up on the other side of the planet in the form of a president candidate. A lady who likewise upholds dharma and speaks openly about it, and who is running for president. So anything can happen in our story. Anyway, I mean, I think I got what I can from Jiang's reasoning here, which is, I mean, he is sharp, and he's very, he seems to have to be really strongly, dutifully fact-based. He went to Yale University. He knows his stuff. And I would say that China, their universities are probably, he's not even talking at university level. This is high school kids in China. Anyway, so I will sneak in some of his analysis here, and at least what is not obvious, pure speculation.